Hello, everyone. Welcome to another fantastic edition of the Cybersecurity Matters podcast. I'm your co-host, Dominic Vogel, and joining me, as always, is my partner in crime, Mr. Christian Redshaw. Christian, how are you doing today, bud?
Doing awesome, Dominic. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing okay.
Surviving.
Surviving. Who is our guest today?
Well, today we have Terry Cutler from Cyology Labs out of Montreal. And Terry does operational security for small and mid-sized organizations, as well as something called penetration tests. So looking forward to chatting with him today.
That's awesome. And I'll also tell people right now to do a quick plug for the book, which he'll be talking about. And he actually sent me an autographed version. So this might be my retirement plan if it's worth something one day, but we'll see. Anyway, that's fantastic. We'll loop Terry in momentarily, and we'll be right back.
Hi, Terry. Welcome to Cybersecurity Matters.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Terry, you and I have known each other for years, and I think you and I first met at a mining conference in Toronto, where you won right. the Popular Speaker Award.
Oh, the Fleming's Conference.
Yeah. I immediately thought, that guy's really cool. He's a great speaker. I need to become friends with him. And then all those years later, you sent me a signed copy of your book, which is absolutely awesome. And I encourage all our viewers to check it out. But first question, love to learn a bit more about the book, sort of what brought you to the point of wanting to write a book to better help our viewers understand who you are.
Sure. Actually, that book is 7 years in the making. And to be honest, I had never had an intention to really write a book, because what was happening is, like, when I do a lot of video content, and all of my videos are all pre-scripted, so I know what to say, what not to forget, things like that. And then I can reuse this content for other things like blogs and other video content and such. But I can also use this content for a book. And I would start the book, and then it would sit on my shelf for months, and then go back to it, and I'm like, ah, this sucks. Scrap it and start all over again, right? And then it repeats itself for almost 6.5 years. And then my ghostwriter, who I've known, who's been working with me since 2008, he's published several books, and he's like, you know what, Terry, we're going to get this book done. I'm gonna hold your feet to the fire. We're going to get it done. I'm like, all right, fine. And it took about 6 months to get that book up and running. Wow. And then we did the launch for it, and it became an Amazon seller. And not just the paperback, the Kindle was actually fighting for first spot as well. So it was like, it was going back and forth. So it was interesting to see.
That's very, very cool, Terry. And in terms of the sort of the content within the book, is it meant for technical people? Is it meant for non-technical people? Is it meant for parents and children all alike? Who can benefit the most from picking up a copy and reading it?
This book was made for Mr. and Mrs. Everyone, the general public, the non-technical people. Because I've had that comment before. Oh, I saw your book, but I'm not into cybersecurity. I don't need it. I'm like, no, this book is for you. So you learn how to protect yourself online, because I get a lot of calls and emails from viewers that, oh, my Facebook account's been hacked, or my other account's been hacked. And basic stuff like two-factor authentication wasn't even turned on. And I'm like, if you're not using 2FA by now, you haven't even entered 2010 yet. So these are all basic stuff you gotta set up to at least protect your account, right?
One of the interesting things that you mentioned as well is about USB drives, or USB sticks, I should say, that are left, and that people will pick them up and just, you know, plug them into their computer. Do you have a favorite story of where you've seen or particularly bad story where someone's grabbed a USB stick somewhere and plugged it in?
So I talk about that actually in the book. So it was a story. Actually, IFSEC Global ran the story as well. So the story is called "The USB Keys in the Urinal." And it was a story about where I got hired by a company to do a penetration test on them, and I could not get in from the outside. It was very, very impenetrable. But usually a company that has a very hard shell has a very soft inside. Yeah. So I said, screw it, I'm going over there. So I was dressed casually. I walked into the receptionist, and I said, hey, I feel really, really embarrassed. May I please use your bathroom? You know, I was on a trip with the kids, you know, they got the big gulp going, and I promise it'll never happen again. And luckily she said, make it quick, because the bathroom was behind the counter. So she had to buzz me in. And when I was in there, I left two USB keys in the stalls and walked out. And I thanked her and everything. And then about 2 hours later, a curious employee plugged it in. And at that time, the auto run was active by default, and it auto ran my my core security tool, and I was in. I was able to compromise them.
It's like a snake coming out of the toilet, I guess, right? You were able to.
Yeah.
That's a great story.
So thanks. Yeah, awesome story, Terry. So our show is called Cybersecurity Matters. In your perspective, can you tell us why cybersecurity matters?
Right. So, I mean, security right now is everyone's responsibility. So it's not about where the, you know, the employee just clicks on whatever he wants and, oh, yeah, the company's security will take over if I make a mistake. But cybersecurity is it matters to everyone right now because with the new scams and hacks coming out, everybody's at risk. So if you want to get yourself protected, you better start learning at least the basics of cybersecurity and how to protect yourself.
Mm-hmm. And what are you seeing as the main threats that people need to be protecting themselves from right now? What would you say are your
the
top
biggest one?
Say one, two, or
yeah,
three?
Yeah, the biggest one right now is ransomware for sure. At one point, a month or so ago, there was like 6 calls that came in for incident response. And because everybody's working from home now, the remote employees are not as protected as they are behind their corporate firewalls, right? Yeah, so since January of 2020, there's been 445 million cyber attacks against remote users. Wow. And when the scams the hackers are able to penetrate the home network, a lot of times these individuals are remoted into the company, and then they can get access to the company and get them infected as well. So ransomware is the biggest one right now. Nobody sees a need for it for protection until it's too late, and they don't realize that they can start off losing $300,000 to $1.2 million in a month. It goes very, very fast.
It's interesting there when you talk about ransomware there, Terry, and especially that sort of reactive versus proactive approach in which there's still so many small and mid-sized organizations, the executives or the business owners there. And, if you try to be proactive with them about cybersecurity, it's like, well, we've never been hit. Our IT guys have it covered. We're good. But yet, they get hit by ransomware and then they're calling you. It's like, oh my God, the sky is falling. Is there anything that security people can do, or even people on the business side can do to become better aware of the fact that if you take a more of a proactive step, it'll at least help cut down costs in the long run? What are some messages that we can start talking about?
So I'm trying to change my mindset on that exact topic you're bringing up. I've approached companies. I've even shown them that you're at risk. Yeah. No. I'm small fish. No one's going to want to hack me. And the message I've got from other cyber guys, like, you know what? Let them fry. They'll call you when it's time. Yeah. And move on to the people that really want to get it secured.
Yeah.
And I get that comment all the time, right? My IT guy, I have an IT guy. I've got it covered. But they don't realize that the IT guy is kind of like your general family physician. Yeah. Would you ever ask your family doctor to perform laser eye surgery on you? Right? Most people would say no. So this is where a cybersecurity guy will come in and compliment an IT guy.
Yes.
So one perfect example, an IT guy could be setting up a backup strategy, a disaster recovery plan, and probably missed a step because he misconfigured the backup to be on the same network as the main stuff. And the moment they get hit with a ransomware, the backups are getting encrypted as well. So they misconfigured stuff. So this is something the cyber guys would pick up on and tell them how to fix it.
That's such a good point, Terry. Yeah. And in that, maybe just taking that a step further there about seeing cybersecurity as being the same as IT. Christian and I have seen that as well. When we talk to business owners or CEOs, CFOs, they don't see that they have any responsibility when it comes to cybersecurity or even just broader cyber risk management. To them, the IT service provider handles it, or the IT guy handles that. Again, very dangerous perception to be able to have. Do you think we'll ever get to a point where security isn't just seen as a technical endeavor, that it's something which is basically part of the DNA of the organization?
It's going to take a bit of time, a lot of education, but I'm seeing that all the time. It's like, oh yeah, my overworked and undertrained IT guy is now my cyber guy. And it just doesn't work. And actually, I remember another comment I gave a customer who gave me the comment, oh, my IT guy's got it covered. I don't need no audits. I'm like, look, the biggest difference between my service and what you're getting now is you're being tested for free as we speak. And the only difference with my service, you're going to get a report that shows you where your vulnerabilities are, whereas the hackers won't give you that. So they're just going to get in and take it. So it's going to require a lot of education to the business, the stakeholders of the company to say that, hey, you need to get serious about cybersecurity. You know, you're going to lose brand, you're going to lose customers, et cetera.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So Terry, taking off from what you were saying about your services and what your services actually are. So your company is called Psyology. Have I pronounced that right?
Okay. Yeah, Psyology Lab, yeah.
Awesome. So I understand, I'm hearing that you have some kind of forensics capabilities in there for after the breach. From what I understand, you also do ongoing monitoring, kind of operational side of security, as well as I think you're pretty well known for doing penetration tests, as you alluded to. So tell the viewers what you actually do for your clients and what kind of clients that you help.
Okay, so my focus right now is on supporting small and medium-sized businesses. I'm kind of moving away from the enterprise space because it's very saturated. So I'm focusing on bringing enterprise class quality products and services at a small, medium-sized business price. And so we can go in there with what's called a report card audit, where we're going to find all the basic problems that your IT guy missed. Things like, hey, your employee is still active in the network, but he's been gone from the company for the last 3 years.
Right.
You got people with too much access. You've got patch management issues. Your firewall isn't blocking content. And the other issue too is that their current IT guy isn't providing upper management with reports onto, hey, here's our risk score. Here's the attacks we've been having all week. These executives are not getting this stuff. So just so my report can come in and compliment their IT guy. And it's very, very, very affordable. And then what happens after that is that we find so much stuff that's got to be fixed up. They can bring me in for a bank of hours, upgrade to the monitoring service where we can look at things like, hey, Dominic usually logs in 9 to 5. Now he's logging in at 3 a.m. That may not be normal. So we get to see all these anomalies. We're also a CrowdStrike partner. So we do a lot of incident response also through partnerships. So we have access to a 24/7, 365 SOC, which is based out of North America and
Security
out of,
Operations
the UK.
Center, for those that don't know.
Right. Security Operations Center, right. And so we get to monitor your environment and respond to threats in real time.
Okay. And where does the penetration testing come in for your clients? Do you usually start out with that, or is that something that you usually do as they mature?
I used to start off with that, but then you'd get sticker shock at the price of some of these audits. Yeah. So that's why I've started off with this report card audit that actually starts at $1,000 and can go to about $2,000. And you get so much value in there. We even does a dark web scan, an external and internal vulnerability assessment. All that's part of the assessment for under $2,000. And there's actually a study that came out that most small businesses don't spend more than $1,000 a year on cybersecurity. Mm-hmm. So that is a very big problem.
I want to zero in on what you mentioned there. You said something about the dark web scan. For us, we're trying to educate business leaders. Can you tell us what the dark web is and what kind of things you'll find when you're doing that on behalf
of
your clients?
Sure. So the dark web is kind of like a little hidden network that can only be accessed through specific software, right? You can't just use Google and say, hey, find me the bad stuff on the dark web. You're not going to get to it. You have to really set up a whole new system. And in there, you know, we can do everything from finding your leaked passwords all the way to hiring an assassin. Right. Okay? You've got everything in there. So, but we can do a dark web scan to see if your passwords were leaked from a previous data breach. And a lot of companies or a lot of employees don't change their passwords very frequently. So they could be using the same password for the last 5 years. And because the Marriott, for example, got hacked and all their stuff leaked out, their password might be reused. And this is things we need to bring to their attention.
Definitely.
And that gets performed during that audit.
Gotcha. That's fascinating, Terry. And, you know, you're talking about, again, focusing on small and mid-sized organizations, again, because they're the ones in the greatest need right now, and it's definitely an underserved market, and traditionally has been so. Do you find certain sectors within or industry verticals within small mid-sized businesses being more receptive to cybersecurity, or like do you find manufacturing as an example better than dealing with like small law firms or accounting firms? Which sectors right now are most open to learning about cybersecurity?
I'm getting a lot of traction right now from law firms. So we have a couple of clients that are on our monitoring service right now that are monitoring their law firm. The other one is closely behind is retail. Mm-hmm. So we have some clients that have multiple locations, so we have to keep an eye on that. Then the other one would be, because the majority of them are doing the report card audits right now. So we've had auto sector as well.
Interesting.
So it really ranges, you know. Yeah. We do work in Bermuda as well for accounting firms and schools especially. So it's a mix of everything, but we're seeing mostly the law firms
in
the pack right now.
Have you found in this global pandemic of COVID-19 with this migration towards work from home, has that brought increased awareness for cybersecurity, or have you found that it's become maybe less of a priority and that organizations are more focused on just trying to survive the day to day?
Very good question. I find that the awareness is actually picked up. Business has actually picked up. But I find it right now, they're very slow to do these audits. They're like, oh yeah, we'll leave it for Q4. Like Q4, like the attackers are happening right now, right? It doesn't make sense.
Doesn't help with
so
the Q3.
So they're focusing on right now is making sure everything's all set up with their VPNs and, you know, getting production up and running and bringing the money for the business. And they're looking at cyber for the next step. So a lot of our projects got pushed up.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. My final question, I'm sure Christian probably has one more. In terms of what we're seeing in terms of moving forward, so do you find or are you foreseeing that more and more small organizations are going to be taking security more seriously? I mean, we're still very much just scratching the surface when it comes to small organizations, you know, starting to take this seriously. Do you foresee this in terms of that awareness, you know, getting there over the next 10 years, 15 years? Because at least from what we're seeing, it's definitely a slow boil. Maybe there'll be a significant incident which propels things forward. But just curious on your thoughts there in terms of what we're looking at here in terms of the small, mid-size environment.
I'm hoping to speed that up. I don't want to wait 10, 15 years, right? So so I got a lot of material that I pushed out lately on how to get started with cybersecurity. That's actually how I picked up one of my law firm clients. He saw me at an event years before, and he brings me to the table. He's like, okay, we're ready to get started. So I'm like, what took you so long? And he's like, well, we didn't know how to get started. So that actually prompted me to say, you know what? These guys don't know how to get started. So I educate them on how and why the hackers are getting in based on what their employees are posting online and such, really, really like steer up the fear. Not so much steer up the fear, it's steer up the reality. Mm-hmm. And so, you know what? You can actually get a lot of this stuff fixed with this little audit. Instead of a $6,000 or $20,000 penetration test, you can get it done quickly with this audit and then go for a pen test later on. That's what I've been doing lately.
Yeah, that makes sense. So in light of that, I do have one more question. What would you advise a company that hasn't gotten started, that's delayed? What would you say to them would be their first few steps? What are the ABCs, the very first and second and third thing that you would take a company through?
Yeah, I would definitely, the first thing I would do is get an audit done. So, because a lot of times they don't even know what's in their environment. And because they've never had a test before, never got into cybersecurity, there may already be a hacker in their environment for all we know. So one other thing we could probably do is deploy some EDR tools, which is endpoint detection and response tools, to see if there's something in the environment, right? Make sure it's cleared up. Mm-hmm. And after that, we want to make sure that the employees are properly trained, right? Mm-hmm. So we can provide phishing simulators, phishing training, you know, get them up to speed. And then we also want to make sure that they are at least complying to like the NIST standard or ISO standard to at least get locked down, right? Because we know that there's no silver bullet to stop a hacker. The goal is to make it as hard as possible for them to get in so they just move on. So that's where the game is going to be played there, I think.
So it's not just about buying a specific cybersecurity technology solution and then that will look after your issues. It's a little bit deep.
No, that's what's happening right now. I get a lot of comments from the CISO saying, oh, yeah, I have antivirus. I got a firewall and I've got encryption. I'm safe. But they don't realize that once the attacker bypasses this traditional cybersecurity, they have no detection technology in-house to detect that there's a hacker in the environment. And worse, they have no response plan to how to get the hacker out.
Right.
So
that's so you're alluding to having good policies in place, and in particular, the incident response policy is very important.
Oh, definitely.
Have a plan.
Absolutely,
in place.
Yeah. But we had a customer just recently that had an issue. He got hit with ransomware several times, almost once a month. And what happened, what we found out worse was that there was actual live hacker in the environment. Wow. We found that out once the tools were deployed. So they could be in your system 6 to 18 months prior to being detected. And they're out there siphoning out your data.
Yeah.
So get an audit done, find out what you have and start locking stuff down.
Because data is what is valuable in an organization. It's your intangible asset that you want to protect.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yep. Awesome. Well, Terry, so great to have you on the show today. Thanks so much for joining us.
I appreciate it.
Wow. Terry is such an interesting person. I mean, first off, I think his book is fantastic. And for our viewers who haven't had the chance to take a look at it, you can get the hard copy on Amazon or even the Kindle version. Fantastic read. It's really well written. Again, written in a way that non-technical people can relate to. Plus, I loved his urinal story. I thought that was fantastic.
If I ever write a book, Dominic, you are going to plug it for me. That's my hope. Yeah, I mean, I really enjoyed this guy. I bet he's never boring, which is good. It's always good to have an exciting guest on the show. And I think the thing that stood out for me the most was just his thought towards prevention rather than reaction. Although he helps companies in reaction mode and probably stands to profit from that as well. His position is that he wants to help people before anything bad happens. So I definitely caught that theme from him.
Yeah, I mean, just such an interesting person, like you're saying there. Boy, the stories he could probably tell over a couple of beers, it'd be pretty intriguing. We only got a flavor of it just for 20 minutes there. But what a fantastic guest, and couldn't agree more with your thoughts there. Thank you again, everyone, for taking time of your busy day to join Christian and I on another episode of Cybersecurity Matters. Please make sure to check out the Conversations That Matter YouTube page for previous episodes and other podcasts as well. And for right now, we'll catch you on the flip side, and we'll see you next week.